cheer the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. We have a lot to share today, all meant to empower us so we can live a longer, healthier, and happier life, to address important health issues, to come together as individuals to not just fight a virus, but also all the inequality that's going to come from the overreach of the government in what it's doing, and we'll share that with you. We're also going to learn about how more nutrients and less harmful fats could help in colorectal cancer patients' recovery. This is from Soon Chung Hang University in Korea. A greater vitamin and fiber intake are crucial factors in avoiding metabolic syndrome in colorectal patients, this new South Korean study shows. Now, considering how many Americans suffer from hyperglycemia or hypoglycemia or hypertriglyceridemia, and, well, wouldn't this help them as well? You bet. So, and these are all published in, as this one is, in very respected journals, such as the peer-reviewed journal Clinical Nutrition Research. We have about 10 good studies to share today. Also today, we're going to hear from you. We're going to our talkback line and your comments upon senior citizens and society and why we're not understanding, or at least we don't seem to be understanding, of how to work together so we can reduce, at the very least, income inequality in those who are most susceptible and vulnerable to its consequences. Our talkback line, by the way, so you can call in and leave a thought, a question, or make a statement. 862-800-6805. 862-800-6805. To listen to this program live, Monday to Friday, Eastern Standard Time, noon to 1 p.m., Tuesday, 7 to 8 p.m., though tomorrow it's going to be 7 to 9. I have what a program tomorrow night. I'll try to get your premiere little segment later today or tomorrow, like a coming attraction. Never aired this before, but it's all done, according to Valerie in my New York office. More on that later. See, but I'm just saying you won't want to miss tomorrow evening's program. But a lot of people can't listen live. They are at work. If you can listen live, call 774-337-6068. 774-337-6068. Most people listen on the archives when they have a chance. 701-719-9976. 701-719-9976. Also today, people are dying. You're going to see something that you have not seen in the media. This person may be challenged or even fired. A medical doctor filmed inside of an emergency room showing us the frontline battles going on to save people's lives suffering from the coronavirus. So we're taking you inside a New York City hospital with a physician there. And when you see what the reality is versus what the politicians are telling us, now you know why not to believe politicians. Also, a short segment on the negative effects of aluminum in vaccines. Why is this important? Because most vaccines contain aluminum, and yet they say they're safe. Yet we interviewed professors of immunology, in fact, a Harvard immunologist, who said there is no such thing as a safe amount, any amount, of aluminum in a vaccine. Well, then who's right? The entire toxicological community, tens of thousands of MDs, PhDs, hundreds of thousands of articles published in peer-reviewed literature over the years, or the people who get the checks from the vaccine makers and the governments, bureaucrats, who are untouchable. One of them's right. One of them's wrong. And whoever's wrong is wrong with deadly consequences. You'll hear that. And if time permits, meeting the enemy, a feminist comes to terms with the men's rights movement. Cassie J., TED Talk, thought you'd find it of interest. That's our program today. Let's go to the latest on health and healing. So here's what this comes down to. Over 100 million Americans suffer from some form of high blood sugar. More often than not, they're also overweight. More often than not, they have higher blood pressure. All of these major diagnostic metabolic syndrome indicators means that you're sick. You will end up, more often than not, dying from one of these or the complications of treating them. So weight management and balancing your blood sugar and blood pressure can be done with a healthy plant-based diet, that we know, but also this study from a South Korean university medical center shows you can do it also with nutrients, and they're showing the importance of nutrients and how people lost weight, how their triglycerides came down, their blood pressure came down, their blood sugar came down, all important. So taking in fiber, beta carotene, vitamin C and folic acid, those were the nutrients that they said were very important to help you lower your blood cholesterol. And by having more fiber, there's your fruits for softer fiber, nuts for a more coarse fiber, grains and beans for absorbing fiber. Get all the different fibers and have that all sweep out debris, harmful bacteria, and dead cells out of your system. The health of the body begins with the health of your bacteria. So long ago, the natural hygiene movement started by Herbert Sheldon. I met him. I went down in San Antonio, Texas, because I was told by two people who really were health advocates, they would be superstars today, and they deserve to be superstars because they were humble, they were factual, they were gentle in sharing, and one was a Dr. Christopher, and the other was Dr. Pablo Arola. And I met them purely by accident. I was going to a lecture in that I was having in Phoenix and Flagstaff. And I was late because I went in the wrong side. I'd never been to Phoenix. And so the person who was supposed to be sponsoring, this is an interesting little story, I was at the very end of a long tour. And I had a very popular selling book. In fact, it was the biggest selling health book, I believe, of all time, The Complete Handbook of Nutrition. So my publisher, not the nicest person, and certainly someone I would never work with again, he had me out going city to city to city. And you would arrive in a town, and you would be picked up by a publicist, and they would say, okay, we have, I remember in Toronto, it was 22 media. Now, some were short interviews, some were paper, newspaper, others were radio. The longer ones were overnight. The shorter ones were in the morning. But you had to go one to the next, next, next. And then you would get your time on the air and talk. And I never did that why did I write this book thing. I always shared something that someone watching for 3 minutes could still, some good takeaways. You know, what specifically should we change and why? And how might this impact our health? So I was just always on the road. And I called my publicist and I said, no more. I mean, I got to have a break. I've been out here for almost 50 days, almost 2 months, but nonstop. So she said, all right, last tour will be, you're going to finish with a lecture and in Phoenix. And there's these people, I won't mention their name or their business, but they're the ones who bought a lot of books, and they seem to be very angry, negative people. So just be aware of that. I thought, okay, so I got there. And the guy was very angry. He was angry because the publisher insisted no returns, meaning they couldn't return a book. So he's saying, I'm sitting here with 500 books, and then he mentioned all these other people who had lectured there, these famous people. And he said, we would get 100 books. And if we needed more, well, fine, we would order more. But you loaded us with, I said, I didn't load you with anything. I said, how can I help resolve your angst? And he thought for a moment. He said, well, I'll tell you what. Let's just stop me helping you. And this way I'm not stuck with you. I said, I'll go one better. I'll take all your books. You owe the publisher nothing. I will owe the publisher. He'll deduct this from my royalties. And he smiled. He said, okay, I want it in writing. So his sister, they were both chain-smoking, in a health business, by the way. Not surprising back then. So they made me sign a waiver that they would not be responsible. Then he added in, and I'm not going to be responsible for your hotel. And I said, all right. What he didn't know was I didn't have any money on me. I didn't have a credit card. And I said, well, sir, I don't have any place to stay. You're going to put me in a motel. He said, well, now I'm not. So he said, you can stay with one of the guys in the back of the store. And so I walked back, and there was this fella who said, yeah, I have a trailer out in the desert. You can stay there. I said, okay. So I took my suitcase, and as I'm walking out the door, I went to buy a bottle of water. And he comes by, and he says, oh, by the way, you pay for that water. I said, sir, I didn't have any intention not to pay for the water. I'm not asking for anything. He said, good. This is the kind of people you find out there, by the way. And so I bought the water, and I went outside, but the guy wasn't finished with his thing. And this is in Phoenix in the middle of the summer, so it was hot, about 115 degrees. So I walked around, never been there, wanted to see what the city was like. And then the guy came. And so we hit an old truck. We rode out to the desert, and sure enough, there was a little trailer. Trouble is, there was no air conditioning. He had one little fan. And so that was 3 days. Now, what I didn't know is that I had done a lot of media prior to going out there, national media, and they played at different times. It just so happens they played it that week. Didn't know. That was fortunate. But I went around. I went into town each day, and I did as much media as I could. And they were all nice, people in the media. And I said, I'm going to be lecturing, such, such. And you never know how many people are going to show up. Well, when I got there, and the guy with the truck dropped me off, he said, that's the center. So I walked up this back, and I walked in a door. And I look around, and there's a room there, and there are like 12 people. And so I go in, and I said, hi. I said, you're all here for the lecture? And they're looking at me. So I sit down, and I said, well, since we're such a small group, why don't we just make a circle of the chairs, and I'll take whatever time necessary, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, doesn't matter, and I'll help you with whatever health issues you've got. And there's no one's talking. So I said, any questions? Any health issues? Anything at all? No one said it, not a word. I think, oh, wow. At least it was air conditioning. So I just started to do a whole talk on why food combining was very important, and what you eat in a meal, and how much you eat, and how you chew it. I did a whole nice talk. And then this woman comes in and says, Gary. I said, yes. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing my lecture. She said, these people don't speak English. These are Spanish people who work in the back here. I said, I didn't know that. She said, the people are outside. So I walk down this long hallway and walk in, and the whole civic center is packed. They're standing room only. And fortunately, Pavla Rola and Dr. Christopher saw when I wasn't there that they volunteered. They live there. And they went up and started to do a talk and said, we'll talk until Gary gets there. That's when I first met him. And afterwards, we went back to his place. And that's when I began to see the real people, the honest people, the people who were way ahead of the curve, who looked phenomenal, by the way. They were in their 60s. And I think Christopher was like 80. And he had the vibrancy of a 20-year-old. And they talked about natural hygiene. And I remember Christopher saying this to me. Young fellow, if you want to stay young for a lot longer than what you should, if you want to put 30 years on your side of the equation in health, remember your health begins in your gut. I said, what exactly do you mean? And then he went through the whole process of the breakdown of different lignocellulases, and it was like giving a tutorial. I was so appreciative because this man had knowledge I couldn't fathom, which is another reason why I've always respected senior citizens, because they've had so much input in life. All of us go through crisis. All of us. There's no one who's going to get out of this life, even a part of it, without meeting challenges. But part of what strengthens us is how we respond to challenges. Do we crumble? Do we become rageful? Or do we become intuitive and look at, what can I learn from this? I may not have liked it, but I can learn something. I can be a better person. I can pass this information forward to others so other people can learn my mistakes. So that's what it was like working with these people. And then he introduced me to, he said, go down to San Antonio and meet Herbert Shelton. Now, Shelton was a different character altogether. He believed in fasting people, but he was not a medical doctor. He was a chiropractor. And he did not have great success with all of his patients. He would take on people who were near death. So if anyone died, the AM held him accountable. So he was always being attacked. But his basic premise was eat clean, healthy foods. Don't overeat. Eat as many vegetables, juice as you can. Eat sprouts, as many sprouts as you can. Eat living foods. And he had a whole series of lectures, and there were a lot of people there. And I will say, when I spoke with the people, how are you feeling? They said, we came feeling terrible and pain, and we're feeling great, and we're here a month. I offered a different perspective to him on don't go fasting people who are sick without having medical supervision. We disagreed on that. In any case, I learned a lot from him, and that's why all of us, in particular me, we're all passing on information from our own experiences in order to help you minimize how rough your journey is and how much longer it can be and healthier. And at least if we're humble in our perspective, that we're all standing on someone else's shoulders to get that elevation. And knowledge only provides you tools. Wisdom is how you use them. And spiritual insight allows a quantitative and a quantum change from being one mind to another, closed to open, regressive to progressive, ideological to universally accepting. These are important concepts to remember, and that way you can't hate people because you see the sacredness in all things. Now, people can be distorted in that and violent and toxic, and we've certainly seen enough of that. But it all comes back to the people who are some of the wisest are the ones who are the oldest, and the oldest who have seen what works and doesn't work. So just remember, every hot dog, hamburger, french fry, pretzel pizza, potato chip, all of the colas and the coffee, all the things and the alcohol that you put in your body, no matter what you felt justified it, either intentional ignorance or simple gluttony or indifference, it causes a change. It can be a micro change, a minor change, or it can be a major change if you're gluttonizing, and then you're going to end up with obesity and diabetes and metabolic syndrome. And then everybody, the whole medical industrial complex, they're only trained to start there. Help with the symptom. They don't look at the underlying cause. They don't look at all the things you had to do over years of repetitive motion, the ritualization of your diet or exercise or how you deal with stress, till you got to that day where your systems collapsed. So I believe it's time now for us to slow down, especially those of you who are in quarantine, and use this time reflectively. Now, in helping you do that, I've done 27 lectures in the last week, the first week of our, anti-aging, and I've sent some off to New York, and then they're going to process it through to all the people at home. But then the one I'm going to start tonight is the one that we're going to share with everyone in this audience, everywhere in the world. I'll do it tonight. We'll upload it hopefully tonight, if not tomorrow morning. And then sometime tomorrow, it'll be available for you. Now, we have to edit them down because they're a little long. But tonight, I'm going to talk about the physio and psychological pathology of disease and the new enlightenment on relearning how to live a healthy life. You'll learn about the biology of the cell, biochemistry of the cell, nutritional biochemistry. You'll learn about how our physiology works in health and disease. You'll learn about how to start de-aging, turning back the clock, overcoming symptoms and diseases, preventing these diseases. That's just in tonight's lecture. So that lecture, unlike the 26 this week, that just go to the stay-at-home group once they're edited, I'm going to be doing one or two lectures a week that are for the general population, all with the intent of helping you. So if you're in your home or wherever you're at, you can use this time very constructively. So next up, and we're 21 minutes into our program, is from the University of Oklahoma. Very interesting, because now more and more people are beginning to look at the anti-aging inducement, the induced structural and functional alterations that occur, especially in the neurovascular segments of our brain and spinal column, and to help with the stopping impairment in our neurovascular coupling responses and the dysregulation of cerebral blood flow and the increased neuroinflammatory markers that happen when you eat the hamburger. So I want to take you from the simple and physical, I'm eating my hamburger, or I'm having my french fry, to what the body's actually doing once that hamburger and french fry goes into your body, and how a 10-minute meal consuming it becomes a 48-hour process of damaging and inflammation, and how you can prevent that and turn it off. And one of the things, when I suggested in the first group in NAD, and NAD is a very, very, very important anti-aging nutrient. It plays a critical role in age-related neurovascular and cerebro-microvascular dysfunction. And that's according to the University of Oklahoma. But many of you, probably thousands of you in this audience, have now started to use NAD. You're on the right side of turning off inflammation in your brain. You're on the right side of restoring cellular NAD that completely goes down as you age. And aging in America starts at 27. I repeat, you're already getting old at 27. So we want to increase the cerebral blood flow, the amount of blood going into the brain, and improve the performance on cognition tasks. NAD helps do that. All right? But a lot more on that coming. And finally, from the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, published in the peer-reviewed journal Nutrition Reviews, how a plant-based diet helps prevent and manage asthma. That's good. So here's what they're saying. I'll break it to its simplest component. A plant-based vegan, healthy vegan diet, because you could have a sick vegan diet. You could eat, you know, white bread. That's a sick vegan diet. But a healthy plant-based diet can help prevent and manage asthma, while dairy products and high-fat foods raise your risk. And think of all the kids whose parents are feeding them the same food, even feeding the dogs and cats the food. Why do I have a cat at 25, healthy as can be? I mean, dynamically healthy. It's how she's treated and how she's fed. All right? So much so that she's the queen of the animal sanctuary. All the other animals love her, Sally. And I was sitting, this goes back about a year, I was upstairs in the barn and getting some hay out, and there, I'm looking down, there's Sally right below me at the front of the barn on a lounge. And across there comes this huge, I mean, we catch and release raccoons all the time, possums every day, and they're good. We want them. They eat a huge amount of ticks, up to 4,000 to 5,000 ticks a year, and they're immune to Lyme's disease. So in any case, when you get what we would call a super raccoon, they're highly predatory, and they'll kill things without eating them. So here it's looking around, and then it walks slowly over to the bench where Sally's at and looks at her, and Sally's just sitting there on the bench. And then he puts his feet up in front of her, and I'm thinking, well, here it happens. And he goes to open his mouth, and whack, Sally smacks him, and he goes about 10 feet. And then saunters off rather quickly, looking over his shoulder. Sally didn't move a muscle. She just said, "Fool, don't mess with Green Cat." In any case, I know people who come to me with dogs and cats and birds with all kinds of problems. I had a special on PBS programs called Natural Pet Care, and it helped a lot of people. Well, it's what you feed your dog and cat, and the energy that you share with it, and time you share with it, what is called the enhanced environment that determines how long they're going to live. But in children, if a person's overweight, if a person's toxic, if a person's inflamed, and they start feeding that same food and beverages to their children, then asthma is a common outcome. It is chronic, and in which the airways become narrow and inflamed, sometimes leading to a difficulty in breathing and coughing and wheezing and shortness of breath. And a minimum of 25 million Americans suffer from this. And by the way, they are the most vulnerable to the COVID-19 outbreak. Oh, just as an aside, tomorrow I'm going to be sharing an article that I just dictated to Richard Gale on how you can protect your upper respiratory tract from virus infection, bacterial infection, and that's where the coronavirus manifests, and that's where it's most deadly, with the upper respiratory tract. So everything that you need to know to supercharge the health of your lungs, especially the upper lungs, against viruses, and the only information I'm using comes from peer-reviewed scientific literature on botanicals, foods, juices, and nutrients that can really help prevent diseases of all types in your lungs. Now imagine if people in every hospital in America use this, and all their senior citizens who are most vulnerable. And by the way, please do not visit anyone in any hospital, because what's happening is people in nursing homes and hospitals in critical care, they're becoming infected by people going in to visit them, family members. And then that just spreads. 12 dead in one hospital, 14 in a nursing home. Stay at home. All right? Also, tomorrow I'll go through even more things that I'm suggesting when it comes to self-quarantine to protect yourself. Because we didn't pay attention. That's the American attitude of it's not a good attitude. Where all those young idiots and their parents, especially the helicopter parents or the indifferent parents, let their kids go and not demand, don't go to college break because you're going to be with all these people and you don't know if someone's infected. So you can reasonably expect a second wave of infection to go across America because of that stupidity. But the dumbest thing that we could have done in America at all is, in the middle of the coronavirus outbreak, have Mardi Gras. And it happened. What are people thinking? The trouble is they're not. So you're going to see another wave come because of people went to Mardi Gras and then went home. And so those are just two of the things that we didn't do. So we need to realize you've got to stay protected from other people. But how do you do it? More on that on tomorrow's show. So, get over asthma, prevent asthma, according to the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, by going to a healthy plant-based diet. And again, that was published in Nutrition Reviews. And I'll just give one more here. This is from Bastyr University. And this is, these are some of the herbs that can protect your skin from cancer. And especially the groups of cancers that develop in the upper layers of the skin. Now, these types of cancers usually affect people with fair skin as well as the elderly. Although low-risk skin cancers are more common than the more serious melanoma, treatment options for them are still limited and often ineffective. Thankfully, alternative treatments are available. And this was published in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Therapies. And there are a lot of botanicals, but up at the top of the list would be this: St. John's wort and green tea offer photoprotection and prevent low-risk skin cancers as well as precancer skin conditions like keratosis. And understand, ultraviolet radiation is a natural component of sunlight. Now, that's good for you. It can prevent cancer, but too much. Ultraviolet rays, the main cause is sunburn. And then that sunburn means that you're more susceptible to cancers and prematurely aging your skin. You see this in places like Florida and in places like California, Arizona, and Texas, where if you look at a person's neck, especially the back of their neck, and their skin and their hands, they generally look 10 to 20 years older than their actual chronological age. So you pay a big price because it's damaging your DNA. And once DNA damage builds up, it can cause cells to grow out of control and turn into cancer cells. So, and primary treatments for low-risk skin cancer, such as basal cell carcinoma or squamous cell carcinoma, and precancerous conditions, include surgery, or cryotherapy is probably the most common, where they freeze it off and then it, more often than not, doesn't come back. And by the way, from all of you who would like to lower your risk of cardiovascular disease, a daily hot bath, that will help. This is from Akasa Institute of Public Health and Osaka University in Japan. So cardiovascular disease, by the way, that's an umbrella term referring to heart and vascular system conditions, still the number one killer in the world. So what we need to do is take the time to do a traditional Japanese bath. Just go in your bathtub, get the water up. And by the way, high heat, like a sauna, an infrared sauna, great if you have any kind of viral infection. But then you put some botanicals in there, like lavender, lemongrass. So you're breathing in aromatic aroma, but you're also benefiting from the bath. And if your muscles are sore, use some Epsom salts. So keep this in mind. High exposure to anything, that's when you're in a crowded place, can be in some ways modified by keeping your immune system strong, keeping your hands washed repeatedly, wearing gloves, always outside, and anything you buy in a store, take it home and wash it. Even right here, every box of food that comes in, everything is bleached down, hosed down, wiped down, and then it goes into storage. And then the people go to get it out of the storage, the chefs and the people in the kitchen. Again, masks, this special, really high-tech filter has 7 stages of filter, ultraviolet and all these other factors are in all the different rooms, plus all masks. And, you have to put spray colloidal silver on the outside of the mask, spray colloidal silver on the inside. And look, we have a shortage of masks. So you got to have, until you can get good masks. And this doctor's talking about, good mask is an N95. No, that would not be a good mask, in my opinion. I would use an N99 mask. That's a good mask. And then if you want super protection, spray the outside and inside of the N99 with colloidal silver. Now, at home at night, you can take some hydrogen peroxide and soak your mask in hydrogen peroxide. And then take it out and let it dry. And hydrogen peroxide is going to kill everything. And that way, you're not recontaminating. But remember, everything that you're buying, from a newspaper to the change you get to a box of anything, it could be contaminated. It's the surfaces that are the single most important thing, and people are touching everything and touching their mouth. So wear your gloves, have paper towels, have your envelope with your clean money in it, another envelope for change so you're not handling dirty money. And when you get stuff home, spray it, disinfect it, leave the disinfectant on for 60 seconds, spray it, and then wipe it all down vigorously to break the shell on it. And that will help you to prevent. Every bottle of vitamin I get, I wash them. Everything gets washed. Everything gets disinfected. Because I've had everyone in quarantine for 14 days. They've been able to eat and enjoy. Last night, instead of a serious, lecture, they watched the Marx Brothers. And, lighten up and watch some comedy, especially good comedy. Today, there's nothing funny. Everyone's too fearful of being called out by these idiots, the political correct police who shouldn't listen to these clowns. Because if you watch someone that was completely politically incorrect but smart in their humor with the W.C. Fields and the Marx Brothers, it's just two examples. There are a lot more I could add to that. And today the Marx Brothers probably be banned from showing in their films because someone was offended, deeply offended. Yeah. All right, so watch some comedies along the way as well. And don't forget, you've got no excuse not to exercise now because you're at home. Back in a moment, and we're going to come back with this. First, we're going to hear from this person who called in and left a message on our archives. And you should call in too and leave messages because this audience, in my opinion, has got some really good insights to share. Then we're going to go directly from that to this medical doctor taking us inside an emergency room and then getting it up. We get a copy. We're sharing it with you before it gets scrubbed off the internet. Please stay with us.
This is the suggestion line about the agent and why they are not banding together. I think that it's the same situation as it is with the youth. Our environment does not, the people in the environment lack courage, And I feel that we are, both old and young, are both physically exhausted, but more than the physical aspect, that we are spiritually exhausted. And I always read about people who, and individuals and groups of people who have been able to accomplish great feats, that one would think would be impossible. And it always comes down to their spirituality. I am a black woman, so I have read many, many autobiographies about black people who, during the civil rights movement prior to that, who have really relied upon their religious or spiritual practice. And I spoke to someone about, we were dialoguing how prayer or meditation, whatever type of religious teaching you follow, and if you don't have a religious teaching, sometimes just meditating, centering yourself and being able to hear your inner wisdom and bring that forward can give you ideas as to how to proceed in building your courage and developing faith. And I don't mean like in some other entity outside of yourself. I mean the inner wisdom that is within you, how you can access it and allow yourself to empower yourself so that you can proceed as your spirit and heart tells you to. And I think, based on my own personal experience, this is the way to at least begin building courage and strength to band together collectively and from an individual and centering yourself internally so that we can deal with the challenges that we are facing currently and in the future. Okay.
Thank you very much for your call. So from what I took away from that we need to start looking at how we can work together. When you're out running to get whatever's left of something, you're thinking of your own survival. But you have to stop and ask. If we have a nation that's all rushing for toilet paper, and we're not taking vitamin D at 50,000 units a day, or vitamin C intravenous at 24,000 milligrams C, which is actually saving all the lives of people in these hospitals in China and elsewhere, even in the United States, shouldn't we be reprioritizing what is important to prevent something? Shouldn't we go through the effort? Well, there's no masks. Make a mask. If I didn't have a mask, I would, I would take a sweatshirt because it's thicker, and I would fashion it around my face and then tie it in four places so it was tight to the cheeks so nothing could get in from the side, and then I would spray it. I would spray it with hydrogen peroxide inside and out if I didn't have it, because why do we use hydrogen peroxide? It kills everything on the skin. It kills viruses and bacteria and infections. That's how millions of people per year help prevent infections from getting worse. So where is that original spirit from all areas of the world where when you're faced with the dilemma, you figure out how to work through it? Now, I just want to read you something here that I just read this morning. I found it interesting. And it's about looking at what we can do. And this is from William Astor, writing in Tom Dispatch. And he wrote a little essay called Having It Easy in the Beginning, Tough in the End. Now, just listen to this, then call in and tell me what you think. All right? Quote, my dad was born in 1917. However, he survived the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918-19, but an outbreak of whooping cough in 1923 claimed his baby sister, Clementia. One of my dad's first memories was seeing his sister's tiny white casket. Another sister was permanently marked by scarlet fever. In 1923, my dad was hit by a car and spent 2 weeks in a hospital with a fractured skull as well as lacerated thumb. His immigrant parents had no medical insurance, but the driver of the car gave his father $50 towards the medical bills. The only lasting effect was the scar on my dad's finger. The year 1929 brought the Great Depression and lean times. My father's father had left the family, so my dad, then aged 12, had to pitch in. He got a newspaper route, which he kept for 4 years, quitting high school after 10th grade so he could earn money for the family. In 1935, like millions of other young men of that era, he joined the Civilian Conservation Corps, the CCC, a creation of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal that offered work on environmental projects of many kinds. He battled forest fires in Oregon for 2 years before returning to his family and factory work. In 1942, he was drafted into the Army, going back to a factory job when World War II ended. Times grew a little less lean in 1951, when he became a firefighter, after which he felt he could afford to buy a house and start a family. I'm offering all these personal history insights as the context for a prediction my dad said, for obvious reasons, came to my mind early again. When I was a teenager, he liked to tell me, I had it tough in the beginning and easy in the end. You, Willie, will have had it easy in the beginning, but will likely have it tough in the end. His prophecy stayed with me, perhaps because even then, somewhere deep down, I already suspected my dad was right. The COVID-19 pandemic is now grabbing the headlines, all of them, and a global recession, if not a depression, seems like a near certainty. The stock market has been tanking, and people's lives are being disrupted in fundamental and scary ways. My dad knew the experience of losing a loved one to disease, of working hard to make ends meet during times of great scarcity, of sacrificing for the good of one's family. Compared to him, it's true that so far, I've had an easier life as an officer in the Air Force and then a college teacher and a historian. But at age 57, I'm finally ready for the hard times to come. Or am I? Are any of us ready? And keep in mind, that is just the beginning. Climate change, recall Australia's recent and massive wildfires, promising yet more upheavals, more chaos, more diseases. America's wanton militarism and lying politicians promise more wars. What's to be done to avert or at least attenuate the tough times to come? Assuming my dad's prediction is indeed now coming true, what can we do? It's time to reimagine America. That's what he's saying. It's a longer piece, but now here's my question for you. 10 years ago, I began a project of researching everything I could from all the real experts on climate change. If you recall, I've done over 100 programs in the last 10 years just on that phenomena of the climate change we're now engaged in. A lot of people didn't want to hear it. You know, well, I want to hear health, but I don't want to hear environment. Well, now we're forced to know about the environment because it's here. The coronavirus is here. But we learn nothing from Katrina, nothing from Sandy, nothing from any of the hurricanes, earthquakes, wildfires, the drought, the flooding, the rain bombs that have occurred, the dust storms, the sandstorms in Arizona and Oklahoma. We've heard nothing about how poor the seniors are who are poor, and how not all are, but and how children are suffering. Not around the world. We seem completely removed from that reality in Yemen, but we participate. We cause that. Our tax dollars go to support children starving and dying and being burned to death, and our tax dollars go to support apartheid in Israel. That's on us, though we deny all this. We turn and walk away from it. It's not important. It's not in my like pile today. I want a sunny face. I want a little a picture of smiles. I don't want to see a child waiting to die with a buzzard right behind him 20 feet. What that iconic picture told us was as much that little girl running naked with napalm bombs on her body. Remember that? That galvanized a lot of us. And the child in the little blue, I think it was a little blue shirt and a little shorts and a little shirt jacket and being led into the concentration camps. God, you look at that and it just tears your heart out. If you're a human being that still is connected with your spirituality, you can't turn away from these things, as painful it is to see them, because it has to remind you, why can't I do something? Shouldn't I do something? Shouldn't I speak up? Shouldn't I stand up? Of course we should, but we haven't on any issue. Nothing. Except toilet paper. That's it. That gets our attention and headlines. So, what can we do? Since we seem we're bankrupt as a nation, totally, totally bankrupt, but Wall Street loves these crises because they're going to be the first and only people to get the bailouts. You and I, nothing. Mark my words on that. The whole system is corrupt, and we all know it. All the media pundits are biased, and extremely so. We know that, yet you still watch these clowns over at CNN and MSNBC. We still read the New York Times. Why? Except for the sports or something that they can't bias. But anything else is just bias. It's doctrinaire. So here's my question for you. What do you believe we can do at this time? What is a positive solution or solutions so we can take our crisis in this moment and be proportional in the energy we give and the way that we go about saying, okay, I've been asleep up to this moment, no more. Now, I'm probably in, as far as I know, one of the healthiest environments on the planet. There are many other healthy planets. Just be isolated from people in a beautiful, clear environment. There are a lot of those in this country and around the world. But then how do you build up your immune system? Which is the best way you can help yourself fight any disease? Forget this virus, any bacteria, anything. The stronger your immune system. But then that means you have to pay attention to your diet, and you have to pay attention to your moods and your behavior and where you put your energy each day. You know, before you feel sorry for yourself today because somehow you feel neglected or left out or hurt, why don't you spend about 2 hours looking at what's happening in Yemen to the children? And then ask yourself, do I really need this self-pity at a time when there's real crisis and real pain out there by people who don't even have the capacity to create a tear? They're so dehydrated. Are you doing anything to help them? Then why should we feel sorry for you? I think we've got to get out of this self-pitying notion that the young people in particular are in, and a lot of the older people. Older people are tough to work with. I can tell you, having worked with tens of thousands, they're the most difficult, except for celebrities. They're impossible to work with, at least the current batch. The older ones were different. So what do you think is a good solution? Here's our number to call in, because we need solutions now. We all know the problems. Our call-in live number, you can call, is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And Jesse's in there. And even though some of you listen to the land-based stations, our terrestrial stations, like our sister station, WBI, we may or may not have a chance to get to your calls. Those of you who are listening to PRN.FM, we were going up to the top of the hour, so we will get your calls in. Call now, because I know all of you have insights or beliefs that we could change something in a positive way. Even intentional communities, start freeze-drying food. I mean, there's 1,000 things we can do. In fact, my workshop tomorrow is for 2 hours. It's going to be home-based projects you can do no matter where you live in the world to see that you don't have to worry about what's not in a supermarket because you have been proactive in the positive sense. 888-874-4888. Now we're going to hear that woman and see if you're watching this on PRN. And Jesse, if you could send me how people can watch that. Let's see, because I think you can watch this. If not, you can listen to it. So I'll get that in a moment, and then we'll come right back at you. Please stay with it.
All the patients in this room, all the feet that you see, they all have COVID.
The frustrating thing about all of this is it really just feels like it's too little too late. Like we knew it was coming.
Today is kind of getting worse and worse. We had to get a refrigerated truck to store the bodies of patients who are dying. We are right now scrambling to try to get a few additional ventilators or even CPAP machines. If we could get CPAP machines, we could free up ventilators for patients who need them.
Five ventilators.
Oh my God.
You know, we now have these five vents. We probably, unless people die, I suspect we'll be back to needing to beg for ventilators again in another day or two. There's a mythical 100 vents out there, which we haven't seen. There's in various offices, from the president to the head of health and hospitals, saying things like, we're going to be fine, everything's fine. And from our perspective, everything is not fine. I don't have the support that I need, and even just the materials that I need physically to take care of my patients. And it's America, and we're supposed to be a first world country. On a regular day, my emergency department's volume is pretty high. It's about 200 people a day. Now we're seeing 400 or more people a day.
Mm-hmm.
At first, we were trying to isolate patients with cough and fever and be more careful around them, but we weren't necessarily being extra careful around all the other patients. And then we started to realize that patients who were coming in with no fever but abdominal pain actually had findings on their x-rays and chest CTs that were consistent with this coronavirus COVID-19. So someone in a car accident gets brought in and we get a CT scan of them and their lungs look like they have coronavirus. We were seeing a lot of patients who probably had COVID, but we didn't realize. 10 residents and also many, many of our nurses and a few of the attending physicians got sick. The anxiety of this situation is really overwhelming. You know, all of the doctors, it's hard for us to get tested even if we want to, even if we have symptoms. We're exposed over and over again. We don't have the protective equipment that we should have. I put on one N95 mask in the morning. I need to have that N95 mask on for every patient I see. I don't take it off all day. The N95 mask I wore today is also the N95 mask I wore on Friday. We're always worried that we'll be out of N95 masks.
Yes. Okay, for those of you listening on WBI, we're going to have to part ways so they can go into their end of shows or end of the hour comments. But we're continuing on PRN.FM, and you can watch that doctor, see the whole thing on PRN.FM. It's in the archives. We've got to say now hello quickly to Daryl from the Bronx, St. Clair from Brooklyn, and Garrett from Long Island. Daryl, you're first up. Your thoughts, please.
Dr. Noll, first of all, I'd like you to thank you for saving WBAI. Second of all, just to answer your question quickly, I think it's the cognizance dissidence of the Christian country failing to follow Christian principles. Two quick scriptures that people say they believe in, Psalm 91, in which no pestilence will do anything to a Christian, and two, 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus died so that you're only healed. All you have to do is accept it. Moving to the next point, I think the other cognizant dissidence is the quote-unquote news that concentrates on the number of cases as compared to conditions of the patients that come down with the thing. I have yet to hear anybody of quote-unquote stature talk about immune systems. And can you tell us where we can get colloidal silver and what form it comes in?
Okay, we're going to have to go to the other people. First, I don't believe this is a religious issue, though there are scriptures in all the major religions that show we should be concerned about our health and other people's health. And almost all other religions promote the principle of helping those who need the help, who are most in need. And I would agree with that. And that's not religious, that's spiritual, that's humanistic, and that's moral. So we shouldn't buy everything for ourselves without considering that leaves nothing for others who may also need it. At least off we'd be one of those people who show up and there's nothing because nobody thought about us. But secondly, I believe that we are not hearing about what will build up the immune system and what really caused people's deaths, because the vast majority of those people who have died are senior citizens. The average age is 80 and they had 2 to 3 compounding issues that would have killed them in any case. And what would have happened had we done the real autopsies and show, well, this person died of heart failure, but they also had the coronavirus, instead of saying they died of the coronavirus without mentioning they died of heart disease or cancer or emphysema. So we're not even honest and accurate about the actual epidemiological numbers, okay? Thank you. St. Clair, your thoughts, please.
I think we should revisit the freedom of the press. I think through freedom of the press, if we can get it to be a nonprofit organization as opposed to being corporate fed now, then we'll the entire nation will get a different message, a message that tells us the truth from the local level to the state level, right up to the federal level. And therefore, when you have these press conferences and you're looking for the government officials to tell you what to do, you no longer have to rely on their voice. You will take it right from your local press, your state press, and your right to the federal, and you'll tell the government what to do if we had freedom of the press. And we're supposed to have freedom of press, but the way it's expressed now is being funded by corporations, and they're telling their own story, which is adverse to the people's wishes and desires. I think that's the nucleus of the problem.
I think that you are right on the mark there. I would simply expand the concept to say less than freedom of the press, which we do not have at all. We should have freedom of speech. Therefore, the people, the physicians, the scientists, the health advocates, all the people who have been in the front line of helping people who have disease, all the health people, the chiropractors, the naturopaths, the holistic dentists. Do you think Dr. Elmira Goodall in Manhattan, do you think she's just in there changing, you know, bridge work or filling cavities? No, she's a great nutrition educator to her patients. That's why I've advocated her for dozens of years and allowed her to be one of the original attending physicians at the Tri-State Healing Center for many, many years. So you have at least 100,000 people in the United States, none of whom are called upon by the media to tell what would you do to build an immune system, what would you do to help a person who has a viral infection, not just this infection, any infection. So the people who have actually done the work, who have the clinical experience, are not talked with. The people who have not done any of this work, like Anthony Fauci, who wasted billions of dollars in worthless efforts to get a vaccine for AIDS, and that fiasco, the vaccine for AIDS, instead of really helping the people with AIDS-defining illnesses, that's where we're putting our energy. That's what happens when the press is controlled, and hence freedom of speech is controlled, because everyone else's freedom of speech that are not a part of the oligarchy are censored. Facebook censored, Wikipedia censored, Google censored, Twitter censored. But you've made a good point, and I thank you very much for that calling in. Garrett, we'll have to talk with you tomorrow because we're out of time. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.